2011, I'd probably have returned to school with some Uzis to give my classmates something to really laugh about. But this was a different and better time. So I walked through the countryside and I bathed in the majesty of nature, in quite a mature way for an 8-year-old. It was quiet, peaceful. The only soul I encountered was a lady rambler who literally ran when I smiled at her. The bleeding was very profuse. Eventually, I found myself stood at the verge of a copse, directly in front of a tree. I didn't remember approaching it, but there I was, standing and gawping at a single tree. Why? I thought. Why this tree? What is it about this simple field maple that makes it stand out from the others? It's not the biggest, the strongest, the coolest, the best at PE. Why am I being hauled into the tractor beam of this tree over and above the millions of other ordinary trees? Well, I guess it had a certain something. At ease with itself, and blessed with a gentle authority. It had class and spunk. Then it hit me, the thought. It's me, I exclaimed. I am that tree. I personify its standout quality. Some people might say that's arrogant. Arrogant? Actually accurate. What has made me different from the others? How, and these were pretty much my exact words, even at the age of 8, did I come to be born with this aura of otherness, this je ne sais quoi? I stood and looked at the tree, and thoughts tumbled around my head like trainers in a washing machine. What made me thus? What made me thus? What made me thus? And as the memories swirled around, like the trainers I mentioned in the previous paragraph, all that could be heard was the pitter-patter of blood. My nose was still piddling the stuff, as it dripped from my nose and chin and onto my shoes. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Pitter-patter goes the rain on the window. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. And outside, cars zoom up and down the road, some of them dropping down into second to turn right into gate and road. On the pavement, people hurry and scurry, both to and fro. A clap of thunder, bam! And some really gusty wind. Everyone agrees it's a pretty dramatic evening all round. Pan right, it's a hospital room. A clammy, pregnant woman lies spread-eagled on the bed and is about to produce pitter-patter of her own. She's not going to wet herself, although that's often a distressing side effect of childbirth. I'm referring to the pitter-patter of children's feet. Stand back, says the midwife. Her contraptions are massive. Get ready. Looks like Anthony Eden's about to be named Prime Minister, mutters a nurse as she strolls past the door. And Chelsea are about to win the First Division title, replies an orderly, almost certainly not educated enough to follow politics. In the corner of the room, Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley blasts from the radio, quietly. You see, this wasn't now, it's then. The present tense used in this passage is just a literary device so that this next bit comes as a surprise. The scene is actually unfurling in 1955. The hospital? The Queen Elizabeth Hospital in King's Lynn. The sweaty woman, Mrs. Dorothy Partridge, my mother, and the child's head slithering from her legs. It belongs to me. The child was I, Partridge.
You've done it. Brilliant pushing, says the midwife.
She holds the newborn aloft like a captain lifting a fleshy World Cup, and then the child throws back his head and roars the roar of freedom. The noise is relatively nonsensical, but no less intelligent than most babies would produce. In fact, probably a bit more switched on than average. In many ways, the proud wail that burst from my lungs was my first broadcast, delivered to an audience of no more than 8. That still equated to an audience share in the delivery room at least of a cool 100%. Not bad, I probably thought. Not bad at all. As I write these words, I'm noisily chomping away on not one, but 2 Murray Mints. I've a powerful suck, and soon they'll be whittled away to nothing. But for the time being at least, they have each other. For the time being, they are brothers. Which is more than can be said for me, for I was an only child, and I will now talk more about being an only child. Why my parents never had more kids, I don't know, though as a youngster I'd often lie in bed wondering. Maybe it was financial reasons. Maybe I'd bust Mum's cervix. Maybe Dad had just perfected the withdrawal method. But I would have loved a little brother